I know. I wanted to, don't make fun of me. You can make fun of me. I wanted to take a shower and like record this morning, but, I was doing some dishes this morning and my pinky peely popped off. Luckily I was able to stick it back on, but I was like, I must touch no more water until I get good pictures of these nails. And I can't get good pictures of these nails until I get afternoon sun, because morning sun is like weirdly harsh and it always comes out, the pictures always come out bad. This is my life. My life is run by peely base coats. Yep. Which is what everyone complains about it and makes fun of me for using, but I don't care. I'm too deep. This is
Here's the life the thing. I've chosen. My thing about peely base coat is not that people use it. It's that they try to convince me I should use it. And then I feel like I must defend myself. But thank you for... If you want to live your life by the rules of peel off base coat.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the indigo thing. Like, I wouldn't be making a video about indigo if people weren't coming at me being like, it's not Blurple, it's indigo. And I'm like, you're wrong. I might not be right, but you're wrong.
So, there's the bone I throw to everyone who's like, complains about why they don't want to use peel off base. I do get it. I do.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking for, a little understanding.
I just want to feel seen.
I just want to feel seen. I just don't want to be shamed for not using peel off base coat. I mean, now, what I'm saying is probably at odds with, like, you know, times that I've harassed Linry about it. So, you know, take everything I say with a grain of salt. I'm like, I'm not telling anybody. And then it's like, the receipts. Hi, welcome to Two Lacquered Ladies, the podcast about nail polish and nail art by the ladies who stream it. I'm Stephanie, aka Fanaticure, on every social media platform that matters. I'm an unprofessional nail artist, and I like to make fan art on my nails.
Howdy, my name is Danny, and you can find me as Danny Shout online. I'm a science educator by day and a nail art hobbyist at night. On stream, I like to create scenes with themes on my nails.
Welcome back, everybody!
Well, hi there.
Well, hi there, Southern Cat.
How's it going?
Oh, it is going pretty well, I have to say, because I have an obsession. I'm a fanatic about something. Yes.
It's on brand.
Thank you. But differently from usual, or at least more so than usual, I have successfully dragged down the entirety of our community with me into the hole. Mm-hmm. And the hole is Midsummer.
Yes, I'm planning a stream on Sunday. I want to do some Midsummer art because you have inspired me. And I was going to give it a clickbait title of like, I was forced to watch a horror movie and now I'm doing fan art about it.
Yes!
You really did drag me down a hole. I bought a t-shirt about it. That's crazy.
So Danny, I want to hear, because Danny is not a horror fan.
Not at all.
Danny had never really known anything about this movie, I don't think, going into
not
it.
Not a thing.
Not a thing. No. And I do believe we have a convert. What was your experience, Danny?
So yeah, going in, I knew it was a horror movie ? And there was, you wore flower crowns when you talked about it. That was about it. And you did give me some spoilers for the beginning, which I appreciate. I'm one of those people, I love spoilers. If I am anxious about watching something and you tell me the entire plot, I will feel so much more at ease watching it. Like, spoilers don't ruin things for me. In fact, spoilers often encourage me to watch things. So
yeah.
Appreciate that. It was really interesting. Beautiful in a lot of ways. Surreal in a lot of ways. Horrifying at times, but always with purpose, which is nice because there's nothing I hate more than, like, purposeless violence
yeah.
and stuff. And I do feel like that's very common in TV shows and movies and things like that, where it's like, okay, what this crazy, horrible act, what did it lead to? Oh, nothing. It was just for shock value. Boo.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think some of the shots in Midsommar are for shock value, but the act of violence itself had a place in the whole story. You know what I mean? So I loved it, and I don't want to rewatch it anytime soon, but I will want to rewatch this again in the future, I think. So, yeah, I'm excited to do some nail art about it. I've never done, I don't want to say I've never done fan art on my nails, but definitely not about a horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah, Midsommar is definitely kind of a crossover film. I feel like a lot of people who aren't into horror do enjoy Midsommar, which doesn't surprise me too much, except for the fact that Midsommar is, amongst the list of my favorite horror movies, absolutely one of the most brutal. Like,
yeah,
100%. And I feel like there are some shots that were, like, kind of jump scare shots. Like, we were joking. So, like, I have a character I love in this movie and a ship I love in this movie. And it is canonical ship of the main character and their main touch point cultist, Danny and Pele.
The evil gardener, according to Wiki Villains.
Yeah, Villains Wiki. Yeah, oh my gosh. Villains Wiki, side note, tangent time. The Villains Wiki is the worst. And the best at the same time. So, fun fact about that website, Fandom Wiki. Fandom Wiki, of course, like every wiki is like, you know, fan run and people update and whatever. But I guess that one in particular, like, randomly up and sold themselves for profit to some other company.
Oh.
When they were made of people. When they were Soylent Green, they were made of people. No, they... when they, you know, had been created by people. So in a way, even though technically it might have been theirs to sell, it wasn't really theirs to sell.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of bad will for the Fandom Wiki overall. But the Villains Wiki always says the most unhinged stuff. Like, of course, you know, my favorite one that I've seen before is that I looked up Brahms on there and he was like a villain, they say. Which I respect as I respect people's interpretation of that.
Yeah, it makes sense for his movie that he would get stuck with that label.
Yeah.
Completely disagree with the Midsommar label.
Yeah, so they had Pele in there, and they called him an affable fanatic. They also, though, like, at the very top, it just says, like, evildoer.
Which, you know, is it evil to influence and recruit people to come to your cult to possibly be sacrificed? Maybe.
Maybe.
But he's also just a nice guy.
Yeah. Like, exactly. And also, like, we don't know what would have happened had everybody not transgressed. Now, do I think the transgressions deserved death? No.
No. Peeing on a sacred tree, you know, it's not good, but...
But the death penalty is a bit much.
It's a bit much. Little,
the death penalty and skinning and whatnot.
You know.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't know if I'm going to put in what we were just talking about, because, like, I don't want to, like, gross anybody out by talking about really brutal stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we just realized another thing that we hadn't understood about it before.
It really was a piece of art, because first of all, it opens on this beautiful mural, which we'll talk about very soon with your nail art, but the mural just tells the whole story of the movie. So, like, you know, if you just understand what you're looking at, it's the whole film, which I think is so brave for a film, and especially horror films, which usually rely on, like, twists and surprises and stuff like that. Again, not that I'm a horror movie watcher, but that's kind of my assumptions about a lot how you build suspense is with the unknown. But no, not in Midsommar. They're like, nope, this is gonna happen, and then this is gonna happen, and if you're just paying attention, you'll notice these things. Like, I didn't mean to spoil things that happened within a few minutes. I was like, oh, that guy's got a hammer, I bet he's gonna use that.
Yeah.
You just gotta pay attention.
I told Danny, or told everybody at the beginning of the movie, like, this movie hides nothing.
Nothing.
Like, what you see is what you get. And it's really funny because at the very beginning, the evildoer, Pele, the evil Pele. No, Pele is an angel. He's done nothing wrong ever in his life. Anyway, he's like drawing something and you could see it's a table when they show it on his pad of paper. And somebody's like, you know, what are you drawing? And he like has it closed really fast. He's like, oh, just the table. And then Vero was like, what was he actually drawing? And I was like, it was actually the table.
Just the table.
Legit, just the table.
He was embarrassed by how boring it was.
It was such a good picture, though, because the table is really messy. And so, like, it was actually, it's a really cool sketch. There's a lot of times where someone will say something really matter-of-factly, and it's like, sounds like maybe it's a joke, or maybe, you know, it's not going to matter, but it always matters. And that's why I call this movie a masterpiece, because, like, everything was so thought out.
Yeah.
My viewing of it on Friday before my video, which I'll talk about in a bit, came out, like, I noticed a bunch of stuff I'd never noticed before.
Hmm.
And, you know, like, yeah, I'd watched it. I watched it the first time, just like eyes glued to the screen. I watched it the second time looking for stuff I'd missed before. Mm-hmm. I watched it the third time in preparation for the video that I made. And then, yeah, fourth time, I'm still noticing stuff. Sitting here with Danny, I'm still noticing stuff.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm excited to watch it again, but I'm not ready emotionally to watch it again.
Yeah.
Because I really did fall in love with the main character. Like, she is so sad. Poor
yeah.
thing. With good reason. Perfectly good reason. And I just, you know, her journey is a wild one. And I don't, it's so funny because, you know, you warned me about the beginning of the film, and that definitely is a hard scene to watch, but watching it for the first time, not knowing the characters, I don't think it really impacted me that much. But if I were to watch it again, now being, you know, caring about this character, it's going to be a lot harder to watch. But yeah, it's a beautiful movie. I love all the murals in it that tell the stories, you know, the little love story with the bear and the other things.
All the things.
All the things that make for really good nail art material.
Yeah, yeah, because the movie is set in Sweden, and so it's just Scandinavian art all the way down. There is definitely an IKEA vibe, but like what IKEA is based off of is the original IKEA.
Yeah.
I
can see them selling like a triangle-shaped product in bright yellow. I can see that happening.
They, like, I know on Tumblr or something, I've seen like people do their own little fan edits of like IKEA Midsummer stuff. Like, what was I thinking? They should really like do an IKEA set of oh yeah, I want to make some sort of thing. It's like there's a part where these people die and somebody says that they had reached the end of their Horga lifestyle. No, sorry, the Horga life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just imagining an IKEA spread of like the Horga life cycle. I keep saying style.
No, I can see it in a magazine spread, and you have like the different, yeah.
Yeah.
The different, you can the click down options for which part of your life cycle are you in, and here's the furniture we recommend for you.
Yes. And I feel like somebody, if they haven't done that yet, please make the Horga life cycle IKEA set. Where, you know, because like IKEA has like, I have like, you know, my, because I like have my Besta set, which is, you know, it can be a bookshelf, it can be a dresser, it can be this, it can be that. So I feel like the Horga life cycle would be a good IKEA set.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of Scandinavian art, which I think it's a really beautiful and yet approachable style of art to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's very detailed, but the details are not consistent. It's not like there's all the lines are straight and everything is symmetrical.
Yeah.
And so that it just makes for a really pleasing kind of way to do nail art and art in general, just kind of a loose, fun, visually stunning kind of scenario. So yeah, when I first saw this movie, I was already in the nail polish community. And when I started doing the curated collections, I was just like, you know, Midsummer would be good. Like Midsummer would be like a really good one because like it's just so pretty and like it's so fun to talk about. But I was pretty intimidated because there are people out there who know so much about Midsummer. You know, like a lot of times, like I'm a really big fan of like something that nobody knows about.
Yeah. The Boy, 2016.
Honestly, worse, Danny. Murder Party, like 2006, yeah. I think, or 2009. Like that's one of my favorite movies. Like no one's like ever heard of it, basically. Mm-hmm. And there's one from 2019. It's not that one. So if you're like, oh, I know it, that's not that one. Like there's so many things that I'm a big fan of that like, nobody knows about. But Midsommar is super popular and it is super dense and there is so much to know about it. And definitely like I could get in my head being like, I'm not smart enough to understand all of the stuff in this movie. But, you know, like what's his name? Stuart Smalley. Is that his name on freaking Saturday Night Live? I'm good enough. I'm smart enough and doggone it. People like me.
I like it. That's perfect.
Right?
Yeah, it is. I can see you could sit there and analyze that movie forever, I think. Like, there is so much in it, which that is kudos to the writers, the directors, and all that, because wow, what a masterpiece. However, I can also enjoy it just watching it once and being like, that was interesting.
Absolutely. On every level. Yeah. You can, yeah. This movie can be enjoyed. This movie can even just be enjoyed as somebody who like likes to look at the aesthetic of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who enjoy like screenshots from Midsommar and they're like, I'm never going to watch that. And I'm like, if you're that sure about it, that's probably the correct choice. Yeah.
I don't blame you because it is, you know, it is a brutal horror movie.
Yeah.
With some gruesome stuff in it, but also flower crowns and frolicking.
Right. Right. Someone was like saying in the beginning, like the field was like perfect for frolicking. I'm like, don't worry. There's like a frolicking competition later.
Don't worry. You will get your frolics.
You will get your frolics in. But yeah, the other film that this director is famous for is called Hereditary. It stars Toni Collette. And that is more or less like if the beginning of this movie, the first 30 minutes of this movie were an entire movie.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I do want to watch it again, especially after seeing Midsommar, because there is a cult in that one as well. And it's very, very interesting. And it's a lot of shared concepts. And also because I know the director better now and I understand him better. And also I know what happens in that movie now. And I'm not going to be as horrified as it was the first time. But yeah, that's the one where I'm just like, I did not watch that. Like when I finished Midsommar, I actually reread my review of it on Letterboxd. I was like, I just finished this like right now and I want to start it again immediately. That was my take on it. But yeah, Hereditary, I was like, I understand that that was a good movie, but oh my God.
Yeah. Conceptually. Yeah, I get it. But I'm not a never again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see that again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ooh, ooh. Like this one is like it really tempers the horror in so many ways to make it bizarrely more palatable.
Yeah. Everything happening in broad daylight did a lot for me. Like it felt good for some reason.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, I can accept this. It's the middle of the day.
And by the way, in regards to watching like movies in the Discord or movies that I cover for my curated collections, if anybody does want spoilers, even if you just want to go in the Discord and ask for spoilers, I have no problem just giving the spoilers, putting them behind a spoilers bar, because anybody can look them up.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want, like, my goal is to enjoy stuff with people, and if spoilers help you enjoy it, I'm not the kind of person, like, there might be one or two things I might be like, no, you should really, like, experience this for the first time without knowing that, but mm-hmm. so rarely, especially when it comes to stuff that's, like, scary or gory or things like that, I don't want anybody to be, like, surprised in a bad way.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything wrong looking up spoilers. I'm not a spoiler purist. If anybody wants spoilers for anything, you can always ask me if I know what it is. And I'll tell you. But yeah, so I was pretty intimidated when I first started conceptualizing doing this video. And then it just got so much closer to the time to do this video. And I thought of so many different polishes that I wanted to use. And a lot of them were like on the top of my head. As soon as I did them. And by the way, if you listen to the podcast and aren't on my YouTube and just aren't completely disconnected, I make curated collection videos where I watch movies and make a collection, like curate a collection from my collection based off of the movie. And I did one for Midsommar.
Making curated collections is one of my favorite things because you were kind of struggling with this overconsumption dialogue, and especially in the nail polish community, like, that's, this hobby is consumption, so it can be a little overwhelming sometimes, and getting a new collection is really, really fun and exciting, but curating your own collection, you kind of still get that same kick, right? Like, it's like, oh, look at this collection that I put together and stuff, and it's really fun to share, and I love basing it off movies and stuff, because there's just not enough fan art in the nail polish world. There are some creators, like, the one that comes to mind, of course, is Geeky Bees and Bees Knees Lacquer, for some reason, both bee-themed. Anyway, they do a lot of, like, fan-based collections and polishes and things, and I love that, but it's really fun to share our little niche movies that we love through our nail polish collections. So I love your curated videos, and I think your Midsummer one is the best that you've made so far, and I love your polish picks, especially May Queen.
Thank you. May Queen was the first one. May Queen, like, basically how the collection started, and I might even do this on Friday. I was thinking of doing Titanic nails on Friday, but then somebody in the audience was like, you should do nail art with your own collection. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I should. I just had this vision of kind of like one of the landscapes that I do with like, you know, green on the ground, the like yellow temple, a blue sky. And then in the sky, I would use Turn It Up as just kind of an accent of just these kind of like pops of color in the sky. And then I kind of like dissected that further when I started actually like thinking of the collection, like, what is it about this polish? Like, first off, I just think that kind of like a smattering of like little dots is, you know, it's pretty consistent with Scandinavian art. But then when I looked further into it, I was like, oh, this is like all of the colors of the whole May Queen thing. And I think that's something that's pretty interesting. It was really interesting about this because one thing, I was working on this for months. Just kind of like I had a file open and I was making notes and like choosing polishes, and the amount of times that I would be like, this is coming to my mind. And then I would like delve deeper and go like, wait a minute. Because like Two Moons came to my mind, or Cattle Lacquer Let It Glow came to my mind for the opening scene. And I was like, ooh, I feel like that would be really good. And then like when I compared it to the Two Moons painting, it was all the same colors.
It's perfect. It's perfect. And the fact that that polish is very different from the other polishes still fits, because that the opening is very different from the rest of the movie. So I think you completely nailed it on that one. And in fact, I'm tempted to order Orly's Turn It Up, because I have Orly's Turn It Down, funny enough, but I don't have Turn It Up, just so I can do some Midsummer nail art. And to be honest, what I would be a little bit more literal with it if I were to use it in nail art and tear off a little piece of sponge and do a sponge on to make the Danny slug. Flower slug at the end of the movie, which is that scene along with the butt pushing scene, and if you know, you know, those are the two funniest moments to me. She's in absolute emotional agony, but in this huge flower dress and just flopping around like a slug. Oh my god.
Oh my god, scene
is gonna live rent free forever.
Yeah, I was so happy because that scene lives rent free in my head. Cause especially like her dress, I'm not sure if it has arms.
No, I don't think it does. I think it's a cone is what it looks like.
Yeah, like a cone with a tail, like a tall slug. Well,
it's a tall slug. Yeah. And then she's got this crazy crown that goes up real high. And those are the antenna. Like, it is a flower slug dress, and I'm here for it.
Yes, I am so here for it. Yeah, I was so happy when I pointed out that it was a slug that people were like, yes!
In fact, I don't think I mentioned it on the podcast yet. That's the shirt I ordered. It's Bobby Hill wearing the flower slug dress with the crown with this, like, very pensive, far-off look. You know, as much as you can express on Bobby Hill's face. And I just love that energy so much. That is the vibe.
Our Suzellen, She has a different name everywhere, but in chat, she's Earth Girl on Easy. She posted into the chat when we were watching the movie, the Bobby Hill slug shirt. And I was like, oh, this is for Danny. This is
for me.
I was so excited. I need a picture of you and Nikki together, you wearing your Bobby Hill, her wearing her These Are the Cheeks of a Cowboy Beller.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, it's always so satisfying when I see something in a movie and then I point it out to other people and they're like, oh my God, yes. And I'm just like, oh, satisfaction.
Sorry, tangent.
Tangent episode.
I saw a TikTok. You know those what are you listening to TikToks? She asked the guy, what are you listening to? And he said the name of the song and the band, and I didn't recognize it. And then he goes, hold on tight, spider monkey. And she's like, what's happening? And then it goes to like a POV shot and it's like, ha, 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 ha. I'm assuming it was that song, but it was so funny. Hold on tight, spider monkey. Oh, what's happening?
Twilight is just the gift that keeps on giving.
It really is. I didn't appreciate it in its time, but I appreciate it now, and I love Twilight memes.
I think that now is the time to appreciate it. I feel like the time when it came out was the time to be a bit critical of it.
Yeah.
Perhaps we were too critical of it, but
maybe.
But like, you know, whatever. I do think that it was valid to be critical of it at the time. And now it is the time to say, whatever.
We're having fun. We're having a good time.
We're having fun here with Twilight, okay? Yes. We're not being serious about this. Anyway, back to the collection. my awkward, self-serving segue. One thing I did notice, because when I recorded the video, I hadn't made the like tableau of all of the polishes together so I could like compare them. And I feel like I'm not going to do that in the future. I'm going to look at them all together. I'm going to get all the swatches together first so that I can like look at them all side by side. But like I realized that the shimmer in Let It Glow is actually the same colorway as You'll Join Us Someday by Garden Path Lacquer that I use at the very end for a little love story.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I feel like those are the two oddest ones out of the collection, and yet they go together, so I'm pretty happy with that.
No, it's like the movie. Your polish collection, just every little detail came together so beautifully, which is not something that I can say about my curated collections. Not that I've done that many. I'm actually working on a video right now for a Bridgerton curated collection, and I tried to make them, you know, make sense together, but that's kind of the biggest challenge of making a curated collection, is that like you're limited by what you already have, and different brands do different formulas and they don't always make sense together and stuff, but it's still really fun to try and, you know, create something out of what's already there. Hashtag underconsumption core.
Yeah. I think it's just a really fun thing to do. And it's a different thing for everybody to do and enjoy. And like, you also get exposed to different movies, which I appreciate. Now, yes. Like, I've already mentioned that Helen, who I'm calling Suze Ellen because I had a bad trip, apparently, during one of my last movies. And I decided that Helen's name was Susan. And I don't know. Just spend one day in my mind and tell me you have any idea what's going on. So we started to make jokes about that. But her name on Twitch is Earth Girl on Easy. And then Allie, one of our lackeys, made a video that was a curated collection for Earth Girls Are Easy, which I will link in the description. And like, I watched her video and oh my God, that movie looks so wild and dumb and funny, and I really want to watch it.
Yeah, we should definitely watch that.
Like, there's these aliens that are really brightly colored and it looks like their skin's painted too, and then they go to an Earth human beautician and they come out and they are just Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, and Marlon Wayans normal style.
Perfect.
Perfection. And I'm like, were they, did somebody just like colorfully tar and feather them before they got to?
I guess so. I'm just picturing them in the chair holding up their phone saying to the barber, "Give, can you do this?" And he's like, "I got you, fam." Jim Carrey.
Yeah, yeah, precisely, precisely. Give me the Jim Carrey, and somehow he could just give you the whole Jim Carrey.
The whole Jim Carrey.
Out of nothing. And I also noticed from that is that, and I actually haven't, I apologize to everybody. I am very familiar with the concept and vibes of the movie The Fly from the 80s.
Yeah.
But I've never actually watched it. I will watch it. I do want to watch it. I might even watch it this week. Because the main couple in that movie is the couple from The Fly. It is The Fly.
Crazy?
Yes. Oh, Gina Davis.
It's a weird connection.
Yeah, it's Gina Davis and Jeff Goldblum. And in The Fly, Jeff Goldblum turns into The Fly and Gina Davis gives birth to a larva. So
no, I will not be watching The Fly.
I don't think you should. I don't think you should. I mean, I'm going to watch it. It's a classic. I'd never seen it. But I'm not a big fan of Clive Barker's work, who David Cronenberg, who made The Fly, are kind of like, you know, BFFs in the movie scene. Mm. And so I'm not necessarily thinking it's going to be the best thing I've ever watched. But I am going to watch it because I feel like I'm a fraud if I don't. And also now that I know, I love it when couples are couples in different things.
Yeah. It's like, is this the same universe?
Yeah, like there's a couple in Twin Peaks that's like the main couple in The People Under the Stairs. And I think they were a couple in something else as well. Of course, my favorite like film couple are Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, who like right nowadays most famously are the couple from Schitt's Creek. But they were a couple in so many movies before Schitt's Creek. Like they have been, and I'm pretty sure that's why they're the couple in Schitt's Creek, because that was made by Eugene Levy's son. And presumably he grew up with Catherine O'Hara and his dad being a fake couple constantly.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I think it's so fun. I feel like it must be so fun. Like when I was in high school, I was in a show with my friend Kenton, and I was the size I wasn't as large as I am now, but I was the height I am now, and I was almost 300 pounds. And then he was this very tiny Asian boy, and we played a married couple in Neil Simon's Rumours. We were Cookie and Ernie, if you're familiar with Rumours. But the visual when we got on stage was so great, especially because the people in our community knew who we were. And we also just had really good chemistry because we were really good friends. And so like I could just imagine how incredibly rewarding it must be to just be really good friends with somebody and to always be playing a couple with them. Mm-hmm. And just how comforting and happy that could make somebody. And so whenever I see a couple like that, I hope that they like each other.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And B, I just go like, man, what? Like, that's the dream. That's the dream, to just have like the partner you act with. You know each other so well. You're so familiar. Mm-hmm. That must be amazing. So, but anyway, yeah, this entire first half of the movie is a tangent time. A movie podcast. Lord help me.
We're making movies now.
We're making movies now. But yeah, so I was really happy with that video. I thought it was the best video I've ever made. And thank you everybody who watched it. And if you haven't watched it, I think that you should go watch it. Because it's a good time. And I can't wait to make even more of these. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're going to be as good as the Midsommar one, because Midsommar is just so good.
It's just so good. And that's, you know, that's okay. It's okay to not have your standard be Midsommar all the time. That would be exhausting. But no, I think you made the perfect curated collection. I think you represented the key moments in the movie perfectly. And I want to rewatch your video and put the collection together as much as I can from my own to do my nail art with. So I'm very excited.
I'm so excited.
I might have to postpone my nail art and just order or at least turn it up. I think it might be that important.
I don't usually try to press people to order stuff, but I think you should. I'm so excited about it.
I mean, Turn It Down is just sitting up here all by itself, so it just makes sense that I should get its partner.
Yes, yes, you absolutely should. They should be a film couple. That yes.
They will be my Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, because that's my favorite film couple. I don't want to know if they actually like each other in real life. I just want to live with the happy thoughts.
They both seem like such genuinely nice people.
Mm-hmm. They got along enough.
Yeah. I bet you they're friends. I bet. Yeah. I'll look up for you and I won't tell you if I find something bad.
Thank you. Perfect. That's exactly what I want.
I'll only tell good you news if it's only. Good. Yeah. But yeah, then yesterday I did Midsummer nail art, and some of the best nail art I've ever done.
Oh, so good. So, so good.
Thank you. Yeah, my favorite part, and I think everybody's favorite part, is I drew the sun from the opening mural. That just looks so menacing.
Yeah, that sun is very much like, acts of violence will happen in my presence, and I'm excited about it. That's the face that the sun has.
The sun's like, yes, I've been waiting 90 years to watch people burn in this stupid house again.
Yes!
There's a stream for it. It's Midsummer Nail Art by a nail artist who was still a sleepy baby. Because I have been a sleepy baby recently. The day that we watched Midsummer, I had gotten 2 hours of sleep in probably 48 hours.
Ugh.
It's just because, so like when I'm doing something I'm really excited about creatively, like my body just goes into like overdrive and it like cannot stop. And like I could not stop. Like really, I couldn't stop until like I got like the first two comments on the video after it posted. And then I was like, all right, I can sleep now.
Okay, I'll be sure to comment quickly next time.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Like, no one's responsible for how my brain works. There's an ADHD symptom, feeling like you're being powered by a motor. And I've always thought that maybe I have bipolar because I have those times. Mm. And then I just realized, no, that is an ADHD symptom, because I feel that way. You know, if I'm not like dead on the ground, I often feel like I'm being powered by a motor. And I just can't stop. I just can't. So I was so excited about it. And I just had a really good time at the stream. And I think that my nails came out so good. I use a lot of sassy nass. We love some sassy nass pass blank.
Of course.
That's what I need to order. I need to order more sassy nass. And I need to order more claim to fame.
From the Sad Clown Collection, Stephanie, who are you?
Right? Who am I? That's a good question. Who would have guessed? I use so much of it, though. It's my favorite yellow.
It's a great nail art yellow. Because that's how I feel about... My favorite nail art yellow is Banana Hacks from Holo Taco. Mm. I've got quite a fill line on it. Unfortunately, this one is discontinued. So once I run out, I'm going to have to search my Orleys to try and find a dupe, because I will be very sad. That's a good yellow.
Yeah, there's one, I don't remember what it's called, but it was from like a back to school collection that Etsy did a few years ago. And Kelly Marissa said it was almost a one coat yellow cream.
Oh, Essie. I heard Etsy. Sorry, no, that's probably me.
I might have said Etsy. I have no idea. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm a sleepy baby, Danny. So yeah, there is a yellow and I think an old Essie collection that was like back to school themed. And I think it might have been called Sharpen Up, because I think it's supposed to be like a number two pencil yellow. Mm. And Kelly reviewed it and she said it was almost a one coat yellow cream.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, the yellow shimmer from the new Orly Terra Nova collection. It's called Gilded Dune. That's what I used for the Midsummer Sun for my nails. And I was really hesitant to use it because it was a shimmer and not a cream. But it's a one coat yellow. And also the shimmer just looked so perfect for the sun. Oh, yeah. It like, oh, just the effect. It's perfect.
Yeah, you were hesitant on it because you were like, oh, I don't want shimmers like too much or whatever. But I was like, no, it's too perfect of the color. Like, and you're going to use a glossy top coat anyway. So like a shimmer is appropriate.
Also, like that picture of the sun, That picture of the sun is so varied color wise, like from part to part. It's so like, you know, patchy, not patchy, but like on purpose patchy. There's a word for that, I'm sure. that I feel like the chamber just really fit anyway. So yeah, it's good.
No, it works super well. Speaking of the new Orly Color Pass, it's great.
Yeah.
That's our review. It's a good one.
This one, it's the good one.
This one, we like it. A lot of people have done swatch and reviews. You have been requested to do a swatch and review. We'll see.
If I do, it'll be out.
I also may swatch and review it. I don't know, because it's just a good collection. I don't have that much to say about like its meaning or its impact. I'm just excited to use these in nail art because it's like a, I guess I would call it like a jewel toned fall collection, which is really nice. So it's got a beautiful teal and a bunch of oranges and reds and a yellow that, I don't know, we just don't get enough of those colors, I think. Maybe we get enough reds, but but like an actual like warm red versus like the pinky reds, I feel like are more common. So I'm very excited for these. I'm gonna be making some nice fall nail art with these.
Yeah, it's four great creams and then two incredible shimmers. Orly has been not perfect on the shimmers, in my opinion, in the past. Of course, there's big exceptions like Metamorphosis. Yeah. But these shimmers, no brush strokes whatsoever. And they just look incredible. They just look perfect.
Yes. Yes. So good.
Yeah. Like Danny said, there's not a ton to say about this collection, except Orly, we are done with these stupid stickers.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the stickers already because I don't care about them.
Yeah, you don't say.
And honestly, they're not bad. I just don't ever, ever, ever use them. And I feel like, and I don't want to sound ungrateful, I do feel like the bonus gifts we've been getting in the color passes have been decreasing in quality for quite some time, because it has been stickers and peel off base coat several times now.
Yeah, like I'm never really mad when they include a treatment, no matter what it is, except for like the seal on top coat. I wasn't mad about that because I could use it.
Yeah,
but they put it in the color pass around the same time they discontinued it because they also knew that nobody wanted that.
Yeah.
All I can say is that it was an effective clear polish to make a fluid art polish with. And that is not high praise.
No. I use it to top my cabochons, my little swatch dots on top of my polishes, because I need a lot of top coat for that. And I need a lot of top coat that I don't care about. I'm not using my Glisten and Glow on swatch dots, but I will use my seal on.
I use my Glisten and Glow that has, because you know I have like the good Glisten and Glow bottle and the Glisten and Glow bottle of sin. I don't know if you're aware of those.
No.
I have a green
doer Glisten and Glow.
Yeah, Glisten and Glow.
On Villain Wiki.
Evil doer. Okay, so I have, people have asked me about this because they see it on stream. I have a green cabochon on top of my Glisten and Glow. And it is because I refill my own Glisten and Glow. And so sometimes, like, if I've been using a lot of white polish or a lot of, like, glittery polishes and stuff, it ends up in the bottle. And so I have to drain it before I refill it, or else it's going to have all that crud in there.
Gotcha.
So I have, like, the evil and the good bottles of Glisten and Glow, because the good one's like the one I'm using currently, and then I have a red cabochon on the bottle that I am not using currently. So sometimes I do use my evil Glisten and Glow.
I love that.
But I don't care if there's like a little bit of like a speck from another polish in there. I'm just like, it's just to be able to by sight go like
exactly. Yep.
Yeah, like I don't really have anything that's supposed to be like reminding me what colors are. Like, I feel like I'm probably like not actually this good at it. Like, I feel like, you know, somebody's like this color with this name, I'd be like, oh, it's this, 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 and this. I could like tell you what it is if I own it. And if I see it from afar, I can be like, oh, that's that, that's that, that's that, that's that. So I don't really want like a wall of like swatches of those like rings. But yeah, the cabochons are just like, where is that polish? It is there.
Yep. No, I love the putting the cabochons on the top because using Helmer's drawers for organization, it's so easy to just open the drawer and be like, I need a mid-tone blue. And then you just see it so much easier. So, yeah.
Which, by the way, speaking of Helmer's and speaking of Midsummer, IKEA has released a yellow Helmer that is so cute, and it is cheaper than the other Helmers.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I don't need it, but I kind of want it. It would absolutely clash in my office. I don't know if I care enough.
Yeah, like if I didn't have nail polish desires this month, which I do, I bought, like I said, the Monarch Lacquer. I don't know if I didn't say it here, but I did buy the Monarch Lacquer Truth or Dare Siblings Trio. That was supposed to be a PBE exclusive, but they did have overpours. So I bought that. I'm so excited to try that. I might do a video about those just because I loved Truth or Dare so much. Mm-hmm. So I did get those, and that put me back like 36 or 39. And then I might as well just dig myself a money pit for PPU because I want everything.
Sit myself in there. Yeah, no, this was a good month, but I think we'll talk about that a little bit more after a cuticle break.
I think it's a good idea. We are going to take a cuticle break, oil our cutes, and when we come back, we will talk about a few more nail things and answer a question again from Jadoob, because Jadoob is winning. Get on Jadoob's level. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, it's Stephanie, and I'm here to say that if you're loving the show, please consider joining us on our Patreon, where you can be a lackey. That's L-A-C-Q-U-I, lackey. Every new lackey gets a special shout out on the podcast. And now, back to the show. All right, we are back. We are moisturized. We are in our lane. We are thriving. And we're going to talk about some nail polish. Danny, do you have some nail polish you want to talk about?
I have so much new nail polish that I have yet to officially swatch and play with. It's just sitting on my desk looking pretty. But one of those is the new Holo Taco, the thermals that they just released. I used one of them in a nail art look, and I thought it was dead on arrival. I was so upset. It is really hot where I live, and so I was concerned about the thermals shipping in that heat and stuff. So I painted my nails, and I dipped my nails into some warm water, and no color change. And I was like, oh no, I'm gonna have to like test all these and contact customer service, blah blah blah. No, just turns out I have the coldest hands that ever existed, and just my hands were so cold that I wasn't getting the color change. So I figured that out after running my hand under hot water. Like, it kind of hurt a little bit, but I finally got a color change. And after it changed colors once, it was changing colors like crazy, like really.
You just had to activate it.
I guess I activated it. I don't know. It was kind of a weird experience, but it's hard to give a full review because I literally only have used one of them so far, but so far so good. one of them's really good, and I'm excited. Do I have enough thermals? Yes. I don't know how often I'll really use these, but I really do like the formulas. Three of them are this like shimmer, like they almost look like creams from far away, but then they catch the light and you see just a little bit of shimmer. It's very subtle, and I like that. And two of them have iridescent flakes in them. I think that's a really nice balance. I don't have a lot of thermals with flakes in them that I'm aware of. I think a lot of my thermals are like cream formulas. So yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
The other collection that I have yet to swatch, that I'm still really excited about, is from Not a Box. And I ordered this quite a while ago, kind of like PPU. It was a pre-order, but they're all three are from Geeky Bees lacquer. One's called 321 Let's Jam, based off Space Cowboy. Mm-hmm. And then one of them's called Samurai Who Smells of Sunflowers, based on Samurai Champloo. And then the last one is Half Dog Demon, based off Inuyasha. So these three animes are ones that my husband introduced me to. I was always, you know, I always liked anime. I'm not super into it, but, like, there's a couple of shows that I enjoyed watching. And he really introduced me to, like, the quote, classics, you know, and we watched quite a bit of them. We watched all of, I keep calling it Space Cowboy, was it Cowboy Bebop? Oh, my goodness. Fake fan. We watched all of Cowboy Bebop.
Hold on, I'm gonna, there's no beep. It's Bebop.
Oh, okay. Fake fan.
I'll cut that out. Don't worry. Start the second.
No,
part
you don't
over
have
again.
To. People will enjoy making fun of me for that. I don't care. I'll
Fair
just
enough.
Call him a weeb.
Yeah, weeb.
No, it's so funny because I do like anime a little bit. You know, I enjoy some shows, and the kids. My students will get really excited and they'll start rattling off all these shows. They're like, have you seen this? You should watch this. You should watch this. And I'm like, I'm not a 14-year-old boy. Okay. We're going to have different tastes. I want to watch Seventh Time Loop for the seventh time, not Demon Hunter, Demon Slayer, whatever that stupid show is that I watched one episode of, got annoyed and turned it off.
Same. With you there.
But yeah, we watched all but one episode of Samurai Champloo. Am I saying that one right? That's the
I don't know. I don't know that one.
That's a weird word, and I don't know how to say it. That's a good show. My husband skipped the episode where they get high on a field of weed catches on fire, and they get high and play baseball or something. He was like, this episode's stupid. We're skipping it. I was like, okay. So I have
Don't
no
skip
idea
skip the weed
happens.
Episode.
And then Inuyasha, I have not watched that much of it. It is a very 90s anime where the plot moves at a snail's pace and they scream each other's name for most of the dialogue. But it is charming. The music slaps.
So many people are so into Inuyasha, and I didn't like anime before I met my husband, at all. I couldn't remember a single anime I enjoyed, which is funny because, like, honestly, the friends that I keep in touch with the best in high school were the ones who were, like, avid anime watchers.
Yeah.
And, like, at the time, I really hated everything that they watched, partially because, good anime was pretty hard to find, and so they were kind of just watching whatever, and also everything was dubs and all the dubs were really bad, so if you were like me, who was like a little like high schooler or middle schooler who was like, well, I only watch like the stuff that's going to be at the Oscars, like I was such like a freaking like I was the worst. I wasn't actually the worst, but like, yeah, I was definitely like I had very high opinions of the stuff that I watched and stuff that I, you know, enjoyed. But then I met Husbando and I was just like, I love you. And he was like, let's watch anime. And I was like, yes.
Okay.
But he showed me, the first thing he showed me was Utena. And that was like nothing I'd ever seen before. But yeah, like I loved that. It was so weird and it was so feminist. It was so different from anything I'd ever seen. And it was just like just the movie. And then we watched the entire series. And then we watched like Melody of Oblivion, which like so few people know about, but it's like right up there. If you're wondering like what's like a Stephanie kind of anime, this one has a never-ending stream of babies coming out of a bus to like make basically this like place wants people to visit it more. It like made a deal with some monsters that they would always have customers, and the customers are a never-ending supply of babies in bathtubs that come out of buses. And they just stand there saying, welcome. They're like, you tara shy. Is that welcome, I think. Anyway, like over and over again. It's the weirdest stuff. And there's also kind of a very scary and yet vaguely hot Minotaur in it. He's not beefy. That's the biggest problem with the Minotaur. He does also eat children. That's the second biggest problem. But
lack of beef eats the babies.
That's why he's got to eat the babies, because he doesn't have enough beef. If they just gave him enough beef, maybe he wouldn't be here. Maybe he could be our friend, nay, our lover. Anyway, So yeah, so like he just got me on, and then like from there, like I feel like after that we both watched Madoka Magica for the first time, and I was just kind of introduced to the idea that, you know, anime is just an art form, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's less than good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just really interesting to hear everybody's like anime awakening and how far it went.
Yeah. No, I have a weird relationship with anime because I loved Yu-Gi-Oh! As a kid. And I didn't know what anime was. I didn't understand that it was from Japan. Yeah, you know what I mean? I just thought it was like a cool, different art style. And I just, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is so bad, but so good. It has that charm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're not the only person I know of who loves Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah.
So
It and Twilight has that same twisted charm where it's like, why do I like this? And then I don't really remember watching any other anime until, I guess, high school. And even then, I barely remember any shows that I watched. Like, I saw people obsessed with Inuyasha and stuff like that. And I was like, what is that? What's the one where he's a ghost detective? And he has the spirit gun finger. I saw that one a lot.
Sounds familiar.
Yu Yu Hakusho or something like that.
That sounds familiar.
Exactly. There's some big popular shows, and I was like, all right. But then, yeah, in college, I actually started watching some shows on my own, and I found a couple that I liked, and that's when I discovered the romance genre, and I was like, oh, this is my jam.
Yeah. Yeah, my genre is definitely the weird and horror and oddly feminist and also vaguely horror.
I'm down for that. What I'm not down for is the stupid... Everybody loves it. And it's a Shinji, get in the robot. It's bad.
Oh, Evangelion.
Yes. Oh, God. That me and my husband watched it because we were like, everybody talks about this show. It's quoted as like a big classic or whatever. We should watch it so that we're, you know, anime literate. Ugh. 0 out of 10. I've seen worse things, but like for it to be held in that high of a regard, I'm appalled.
That was one of the first ones that we watched together. I mean, Hubs had already seen it, but I watched with Hubs. And yeah, it was, I honestly hardly remember it.
Yeah.
To be honest, the thing I remember the most is just like long elevator scenes with a penguin.
So which... much elevators. Everything's on an elevator in that show. they need to go to the office. They ride a weirdly big elevator. It's like, what? Y'all are complaining about the earth dying. It's because you are putting all of your resources into elevators.
Everything you do is a dang elevator. No, I actually wore I have a Garfield Neon Genesis Evangelion shirt, and I wore it to the game store hoping that somebody would notice, and somebody did, and I said, thank you. I wore this in the hopes that somebody would notice.
That's how I feel about my Bobby May Queen shirt. When it gets here, I cannot wait to see who gets the reference and who is brave enough to say something.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, and that's the great thing about wearing really niche shirts is that like you find somebody and they're like that, and you're like, yes, yes, yes! You grab them, you shake them, and they're like, police.
You grab them and you say, hold on tight,
spider monkey. Precisely, that's exactly what you do. But yeah, so that collection does sound cool. I was not into anime in the 90s. So I have no connection to it.
Yeah, I was not into anime in the 90s, but now I watch anime from the 90s.
It's fair enough.
A few decades late, but you know.
But you got there. You got there eventually. But yeah, we did have a good PPU, but it's funny because like it kind of was a weird PPU.
It was a weird one, yeah.
Because like it was book covers.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them did not have pictures of the book cover.
Right. So the so my issue with it from the beginning was like, which book cover? Because, you know, books have multiple editions and multiple covers. There's like special editions or whatever. Like, I was watching a book review from a YouTuber that I really like, and she had this like gorgeous version or edition of Pride and Prejudice that would have made a great polish, but like, I don't know, like, how do you know it's that one? I do want to find the winner. Who was it? Who was it that like got a spot on with the Peacock Pride and Prejudice one?
Oh, I don't have it saved because I'm not going to get that one.
The winner of this bingo is Night Owl Lacquer because they specified which edition, the 1894 Peacock cover of Pride and Prejudice, which we could Google and then verify that it actually did nail it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Night Owl Lacquer. We appreciate that.
I'm right now just going through these and being like, okay, not this one, not this one, not this one. It's pruning my wish list. Yeah, I just thought so many were so good. The one that really stands out in my brain is Crystal Knockout, Not My Show, Sweetheart. It is based off of The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I don't know that book, but it looks like lily pads and or a petri dish.
Yeah, no, this is a for sure. I'm definitely getting this one.
Yeah.
I don't know this book either. So if you know it, leave a comment. We'd love to hear your opinion about the book. But this, it's probably my favorite formula where it's a contrasting shimmer base with some sort of fun glitter. And in this case, the fun glitter are these huge circle glitters that are just packed in there. I don't know if the glitters themselves are green. Let me actually read real quick. No, the glitters are white, but the base is green. So they get that fun jelly effect where the bottom layers of glitter are a little bit of a darker green than the top layers. And yeah, exactly like you said, they look like either lily pads or bacteria colonies or, my initial thought was like frog eggs. They're kind of like gelatinous looking and I love it.
Yeah, yeah. So many cool ones. There's a Cuticula Goosebumps themed one that I think so many people are going to get. I'm going to get that one as well. Mm. Dead House by Cuticula.
I'm looking at Watcha, The Battle of the Labyrinth. Oh, gorgeous multi... Not. I don't think it's a multi-chrome flaky. Maybe it's a mix of multi-chrome flakes. I could just read the description, sorry. iridescent flakies. But the turquoise jelly base makes it look like aged copper, which I'm very into.
I didn't have that on my wish list, but maybe I'm gonna add it back to my wish list because oh my god. This is one of those that I said like I don't think I want to get it, but if I can't stop thinking about it, I'll go back.
yep. There's a couple of those. I am going to try on stream to dupe out my wish list to convince myself not to get so many this month, but there's a lot of good ones. Swamp Gloss has one called Swift and Saddled. What is this based off?
I don't know what it's based off.
That's right. The cowboy smut genre, which didn't know that had its own genre. Very excited about it, but it looks like an opal. Like it really captured that iridescent shimmer and the jelly and ugh. And it's a solar polish, which is pretty cool. So yeah, a lot of really great polishes. It seems like the weirder the theme, the more fun the creators have with it. And I love that.
Yeah, I think that's true. And that makes sense because like this one had only 3 pages and usually there are 3.5 pages of polishes. So clearly it didn't get every single creator to, you know, join in this time. But yeah, the ones that did knew what they were about, knew what they wanted to do. The stamping plates this time are excellent. Tons of book themed. There's a whole Pride and Prejudice peacock. I mean, it's all peacocks, but it's based off of that same Pride and Prejudice that nailed it polish nailed. So yeah, I thought it was a really good polish pickup and, it'll already be done by the time this is out. But, if you can go back in time, you should check it out.
You should at least watch the VOD and see our thoughts on it.
Yeah, you absolutely should watch the VOD. It was a really, really fun show. We had a really good time.
Yes.
Just a great time.
Cracking up in the middle of trying to read descriptions. I was a little disruptive, but I tried my best.
We are always like Danny and I are always just like totally off our rockers. Like we never have shown up to bingo being like we're fresh, we're ready to go. We're just like we just walk in with like our hair disheveled. Like, what time is it?
Exactly. Because every time it comes up, I'm like, oh, it's this week. Oh, bingo's happening. Are you sure? Like, it's always a surprise for me.
Shepherd's crying. I don't know why.
I yearn.
Do you yearn, Shep? I fed you.
I hope your mic picked up that adorable.
She's so cute. Whale. Licking her crotch, as cats do. All right, we have an audience question from MVP Jadoob.
Jadoob asks, Nail Nation has been granted UN status. We'll all be immigrating. And you two have to design the flag. What does it look like?
Why Steph, do you, we ideas? Have to decide design this flag?
It was one of those jobs that nobody wanted to do. So they were like, let the two lacquered ladies do it.
I guess. So I should have probably thought about this before we asked it, but I did not think about it. I don't know.
I have one thought, and hopefully we can build off of that. Maybe it's because we've been obsessed with Midsummer lately. Maybe it's because the IKEA Helmer is so iconic to the nail polish hobby. But I was thinking we should definitely base it off the Nordic country flag with the cross on it, the sideways
Swedish,
the Chrissy cross with the Swedish and Norwegian flags. They all have that. Pretty sure the Finnish flag also. What else is considered Norwegian? Anyway. let's start with that.
Hold on. I have an idea here, Danny. And then we can add an extra element. Go into Canva and go into your team. Let's create a design. I'm just going to make it a YouTube thumbnail. All right. We're doing it live. Okay.
Where'd it go? Canva.
I am starting a new thing, so hopefully you'll see it.
Okay,
so we have one of these flags that has editable colors.
Okay. I would love if there's a way. I don't know if this fabric exists, but if there's multi-chrome or iridescent fabric, we should use that and make this flag really obnoxious to reproduce.
Yes, I was thinking that as well. So I'm thinking in the background we do like magenta, hot pink, magenta, multi. Oh, I did the wrong color. Multi-chrome.
Yes.
Maybe like the hot pink to yellow kind of thing. Oh, this is not the most ideal Swedish flag. Because it's like being weird. And then I want to make the cross blue because I like a blue shimmer. Let's make it shiny.
Yeah, those fun. I love this type of star, the 4-point star. I don't know, it's I feel like it comes up in nail art a lot.
Hold on, while we're let me open up OBS and then we can that's perfect, Danny, what you just did. All right, so I'm going to start, hold on, scene two. Yeah, start recording. Hey everyone, editing Stephanie here. The following section is probably going to be pretty weird to listen to if you're not watching on YouTube. So if you're listening somewhere else, this might be a good time to head on over to YouTube and subscribe. We do have a picture of the flag linked in the description, but if you can't look at that and you can't go over to YouTube, good luck. Okay. So now possibly the people at home can see the live design process.
Yeah. Do you like white or yellow better?
I like the white better, but the yellow does have kind of like a pretty, pretty princess vibe. It
does. I mean, I can always make this white.
I like this one. I like this.
Yeah, that one's, I like this.
But that's a good flag, though. That's like, right, I don't know how this...
Like, you can't draw this one, right? Because it's got, like, a fade effect on it.
Yeah.
Here, there's more where that came from. Let me... Ooh. Oh, that one's animated. We're going to have animations on our flag? Yeah. Everyone will love that.
Well, it's already multi-chrome. It'll be fine.
I do...
So, I think of, like...
Yeah, I like that one better. Okay,
hang on. Yeah, that's good. Maybe a little bit smaller, so it's a little more like in that corner. Maybe a little bit bigger than that.
A little bigger than
that. I'm just gonna like really just like nitpick everything you do.
Okay, perfect.
Like just be this.
I'm pretty happy with just this. Like, so far as flags go, I feel like this isn't too bad. I guess we'd have to come up with what these little stars represent.
So basically what we have right now, if you're not watching the video, which I don't even know if you're going to have access to, we don't know yet. It's like the Swedish flag, but the background is pink, like a deep magenta, but neonish. And then we just splooge all over it.
I was curious what that would look like.
Sorry, Jay, just put this thing up. This looks like a sparkle, but like, I think it's supposed to be a sparkle, but it just kind of looks like, I don't know, like we like left this out in like the rain or something.
Yeah, no, like it definitely got splashed with toothpaste while we were brushing our teeth. Yeah, no, that doesn't look good either. Okay.
Trying to
find some sparkles.
The cross, the back is like a deep magenta. The cross is a blurple.
Okay, I don't like this, though.
So it makes you think of a blingy. Let's see.
Because yeah, I don't know how to represent multichrome. Oh, yeah. Well, no, we totally need, you're right, we need the nail polish emoji.
Emoji. This just looks there like such a good flag, though. Oh, that one. Oh, my God. That's
or
so funny.
They've got a bunch of different versions of it. I like this one.
That one looks like Satan's hands. No shade, but that one looks like Satan's hands. There's just that one.
Disembodied fingers.
It's a pretty classic one. Right there.
Let me get pink and... I don't know.
But yeah, honestly, like just this, like, so, okay. So this is our flag. We got the magenta, representing the nail polish users of the past.
Sure.
I don't know.
No, like really the magenta represents the polish itself, right? The sea of color that we enjoy living in, the blue cross or stripe, I don't know, I guess it's cross isn't the right word because it's sideways, but
yes,
it's the bonds of friendship that tie us together.
Yes.
Oh, you know what, we should make that Twitch purple.
Oh, okay, let's all right, let's look at, so like, whoa, a little bit, I didn't more. Want that Twitch purple.
That doesn't look good. Never mind.
Okay.
So fair anyway, enough. It represents streaming services.
Well, okay, wait. Here's the thing, is that this is blurple. You can both agree, oh, right, this is blurple. And so this represents us, this represents us maintaining our friendship and also maintaining this represents us, what's the word I'm looking for? This represents us maintaining civility even when we have our disagreements.
Yes. Yes, yes.
That is what,
yes,
the blurple stands for.
That is the
unite. Some of the people in our country call it indigo, and while they are, yeah, wrong.
You know what? You know what? Respect. One stripe is indigo and one stripe is blurple. Can you tell the difference? No. Don't
no. Worry about it. And then the three stars. Or four. Four stars.
Yeah, four stars.
Do they represent our four queens? Do we have four?
I was kind of thinking they should represent the queens. Yeah. So I feel like, okay, and this might be controversial. Feel free to put your opinions in the comments. I think the big star should be simply neological. So many of us started our nail polish journey. So many of us started our nail polish journey with the launch of Holo Taco, and you know, she is arguably the biggest creator in the nail art space. So yeah, I think the big star should be simply, one of those has got to be Kelly, obviously. Yes. One of those should be, I was thinking Nicole Loves. Nicole Love Nails. I don't know why I say Nicole Loves like
that. See, that's her last name. Thinking.
Or Colette.
Yes. I was thinking, okay. I actually, here's my proposal.
Uh-huh.
I think the three little stars should be representative of Simply, Kelly, and Colette.
Mm.
And I think the big star should be representing all of the people they have uplifted.
Oh, yeah. Just like the community as a whole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Colette, even though Colette's not as like active nowadays, like she really like she was and she was really influential for so many people that really made this hobby what it is today.
Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, because Simply made nail stuff fun for the weird girls. Colette made nail stuff fun for streamers, and like the idea of streaming nail art, you know, she's the biggest nail art streamer. And then, yeah, Kelly reviewing and talking about polish and collecting polish. Because
Kelly made us all hoarders.
She made us all hoarders. But we love it. So, yes, I'm going to go ahead and put this this feet picture on here.
Yeah, I like that.
And I'm going to put it like awkwardly.
I can't think of anything better than that. We have a version of the flag where it's just
I hate this one. Oh, I don't know why the knuckle lines upset me, and why is the polish like splashing?
And what is happening? Oh my god, what sadist made this? What is your problem? And just this big just manicure up here.
Should we release two versions? Should we release the simplified, what we would literally make a flag? And
And then we should just
and
add
then, the trash version.
This is so cute, though. Oh, no!
To represent our fallen brethren. Broken bell. This is perfect. I love this.
This is the best thing we've ever.
Down.
Yeah. They're just wiggling their toes. They're just off there reading their magazines, wiggling their toes. Hold on. Is there anything else cursed? Looking for all
the cursed images.
search Canva cursed nail polish.
How about this hand on this butt?
Good. That's perfect. Right in the middle. I like that. In the middle. And like awkwardly baked like you had it. I like that about it. There we go. This nail trimmer with eyes.
Canva, what is this?
What are you doing, Canva? What are we?
Speaking of thermals, that's just like a weirdly.
Why is that?
Should we leave it on there?
Hold on. I don't want to obscure the feet. Nothing.
Yeah, we
nothing
make
too
it nice and small.
There.
Like, oh, that's good. Yeah, just kind of partially off.
Yeah, just like off the edge there. Hold on. Let's make everything really perfect. And then hold on. We need a few little more touches, and then this is perfect.
Let me go ahead and duplicate it and start making the actual like.
Yeah.
Simplified one. There we go.
The actual one that we would use. And then we'll put in. This zombie. Coveting the Sailor Moon polish.
Perfect.
Oh, I thought this was going to go behind that, but it didn't. I was like, that's going to let it clip.
I think one more thing up by manicure.
Oh, up in the manicure.
Just a little something.
I kind of like this.
Oh, that's, yes, I do like that. Let me put that.
Yeah, put it over there. And then we,
Should I make the butt fit a little bit more in the center here, like that.
I guess. Do you like it being really big?
I like it big.
Put it over in Sailor Moon.
Over there. I don't know how this is going to be for our listening audience, but please check out our YouTube channel, and we'll try upload. To include a, we'll at least include a picture of it, if not like the recording of us creating this masterpiece.
If I can match up, I could maybe even do a YouTube edit and a podcast, regular podcast edit, so that
would be perfect if you don't mind.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that, because I'll just not edit a bunch. Oh, that's my goodness. Beautiful. Okay, well, Jadeem, Steph, thank so you for happy. This prompt. We had a really good time doing art today.
Oh man, we gotta stream. We might need to stream this snail art.
Yes, yes. All right, well, with that beautiful artistic interlude, I think that is enough for today. Danny, take us out.
Thank you all so much for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel and leave a comment with your favorite moment, a story to share, and of course, any questions you'd like us to answer in future episodes.
Be sure to check out Danny and I on Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, and Patreon. I am Fanatic here. She is Danny Shout. All of our links are in the description. Join us next time when we choose the bear, but not the way you think.
Stay lacquered.